Now, I hope you spent just a little bit of time this week learning about Jesus. That was our message, our missional habit last week. Whether it was reading a piece of the Gospels or you're reading another author talking about the life of Jesus. One of my favorite books, aside from the Gospels, talking about Jesus, is a book called Re-Jesus by Frost and Hirsch. Now, this is one of my favorite books. They talk about a wild Messiah for a missional church, that we need to take the chains off of Jesus, we need to stop domesticating Jesus, and learn how to take risks, to experiment again, to be entrepreneurs, to build relationships with people that we never thought we would, to try new things in the hopes that some people might just come to a saving knowledge of Jesus. That's one of my favorite books. If you took some time to learn this week about Jesus, write it on the back of that Connect card and let us know. Now, learning about Christ, that's just one of the five habits of missional people. These are these little easy habits we build into our lives to help point people to Jesus in our everyday lives. The first habit we learned was to bless three people. Bless three people, one of whom is not a part of Legacy, with words of encouragement, with acts of service, or an unexpected gift. The second habit was eating with at least three people, one of whom is not a part of Legacy, to break down barriers, to build community, and to bring healing and restoration. The third habit was listening to the Spirit, to take just a period, a couple minutes every week, to find silence and to see what God might be speaking into your own life and what God might be challenging you to do. The fourth habit, we were just reminded, was learning about Jesus. And today, the last habit of missional people, we are to live as the sent ones. We are the sent ones to go into our world, our workplaces, our neighborhoods, to alert others that God reigns. And we are to be the instruments in God's hands, bringing tastes of wholeness, of justice, of beauty, and reconciliation. We're to let other people know that all of those things will come to completion when Jesus returns again. Now, if you notice the beginning letters, it spells out a mnemonic or a memory device, and the memory device is bells. And all of our five habits start with one of those letters. And I was thinking about it this week. It reminded me of the phrase, "I'll be there with bells on." And if you ever used that phrase, you probably didn't grow up in the 19th century, so you probably haven't. But "I'll be there with bells on" means I'll be there with enthusiasm. I'll come to your gathering, I'll come to your party with joy and enthusiasm. So may we be the people that put the bells on, and may we live out these five habits with enthusiasm and joy, pointing people to Jesus in all that we do. During our vacation last May, we took our kids to a movie. We took them to see Captain Underpants. And as the name suggests, it is targeted directly at the young elementary age audience for its incredible amount of bathroom humor. And the name should lead you to that conclusion. Now, I was charged with the family to stand in the concession line, and I'm standing in this line, and it took forever. I mean, this was the slowest concession line in the history of the universe. By the time I get in the theater, the movie's already started, I've completely missed the previews, and I was bummed. I'm one of the people that likes to get to the movies early to see the previews. I like to see what's coming next. You get to watch the trailers and see what kind of movies are there, and you get to watch all of the best scenes, best action, the best plot, all the kind of things they put in the trailers. Now, I like chatting with my wife also when these trailers are done. I like to lean over to her and say, "Yep, I want to go see that one," as in the case of Spider-Man Homecoming. Or, "Not a chance. Who even greenlit that movie?" in the case of the Emoji Movie. So as we seek to live as the sent ones in our neighborhoods, our workplaces, we serve as movie trailers. Friends, we are the movie trailers for the Christian faith. If we do our jobs poorly, if we do not bless other people, if we don't eat with others, if we don't listen to the Spirit, if we don't learn about Jesus, people will say, "Not a chance. I don't want to live like those people do." However, if we do our jobs well, if we bring a taste of wholeness and justice and beauty and reconciliation to our workplaces and our neighborhoods, our coworkers, our friends, and our family will say, "Yes, I want to see this world where these people come from." Theologian Leslie Newbin puts it this way: "The best witnesses for the gospel are those who live it." We are the trailers. We are the tastes of the world that is yet to come, the massive, glorious blockbuster that is the kingdom of heaven that is coming to earth. It is the new creation described in the book of Revelation. This is Revelation 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared, and the sea was also gone. And I saw the new holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, like a bride dressed beautifully for her husband. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, "Look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All those things are gone forever." Whenever we wipe away tears, whenever we hold one another when we're crying, when we endure pain and suffering together, we give just a small taste of the world that is yet to come, where there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. And God walks with us just like we walk with each other. We are the sent ones to alert our neighborhoods and our workplaces to the fact that God reigns. And God wants to use us to bring wholeness and beauty and justice and reconciliation to their lives and to the world. Now, being the sent ones saying that God reigns is slightly different than saying we just follow Jesus. Frost, Michael Frost, the author of this little book that you can grab in the Connection Center, tells this story about listening to a conversation in a coffee shop. He's overhearing a Christian explain to a non-Christian what his faith is about. And this Christian says that he follows the ancient teachings of Jesus. Well, that is partly true. Yes, we try to conform our lives more and more every day to the teachings of Jesus. But there's more. Jesus is alive today. God reigns yet today. Jesus is alive and seeks to guide us now as we try to apply his teachings to life here in the 21st century. We don't just follow some dusty teachings of someone who's long gone. Jesus is alive and our God reigns. So as we seek to be the sent ones that alert other people that God reigns, there are a couple things that we as heavenly movie trailers point people towards. The reign of God has these essential elements: reconciliation, justice, beauty, and wholeness. First, reconciliation. It's at the heart of God's reign, and we've sang about it already this morning. It's what Jesus did for us on the cross. He repaired humanity's broken relationship with God and allowed us to have a daily relationship with our Creator. Paul notes this in 2 Corinthians. All of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. God has given us the task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us the wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, "Come back to God." God's reign means we're no longer separated from God by our sins. Those barriers, those mistakes we made that block our connection with God, our sins are washed clean and made as white as snow. Now, once we say yes to following Jesus, we spend our lives working to purge various hang-ups and mistakes and sins out of our lives. I heard one pastor put it this way: there is one new birth, but we have multiple conversions. One new birth, but multiple conversions. We crossed the line once. A minute ago, we weren't Christians. We said, "Yes, I'm going to follow Jesus. Now I'm a Christian." That is a new birth. But we don't immediately get zapped and made holy in that instant. We're still prideful. We have lust. We have greed in that moment. So we spend a lifetime of getting closer to Jesus every day, slowly being converted out of pride and envy and lust and gluttony and greed and laziness and wrath. And it starts to change to humility and gratitude and patience and diligence and generosity and temperance and chastity. Yes, God has reconciled us to him in one new birth, but we have multiple conversions that happen to us over our lifetimes. It's not a linear process. We have fits and starts. We have ups and downs. We go backwards. We go forwards. But we keep working. And we keep trying to shape our lives to look more and more like Jesus every single day. Not only is reconciliation to God part of God's reign, but reconciliation to other people, to every single person on the planet. Paul, the great church planter, explores this kind of reconciliation in the book of Galatians. For you are all children of God through faith in Jesus Christ. And all who've been united with Christ in baptism, we've put on Christ, like putting on new clothes. There's no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male and female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham. You are his heirs. And God's promise to Abraham belongs to you. There is reconciliation between God and humanity, but also between Jew and Gentile, slave and free, male and female, black and white and Hispanic and Native American, and on and on and on. As the sent ones to announce God's reign, we are champions of reconciliation. So this might mean at work, we work to mediate a conflict between two coworkers who can't seem to stop fighting. At school, we work to clear up a misunderstanding between friends. With our families, we do what we can, insofar as it is up to us to reconcile a family member who we've been estranged from. It might also mean we share the good news with somebody. We share that Jesus has made us right in God's eyes, that our God reigns, and we're invited along for this lifelong journey of holiness, this lifelong journey of looking a little more like Jesus every single day. Friends, we announce that our God reigns, and we promote reconciliation. Second, justice characterizes God's reign. Justice, or mishpat in the Hebrew, it occurs more than 200 times in the Old Testament. And justice means more than just the punishment when somebody does something wrong. It means giving people their rights. Mishpat is giving people what they are due. It could be punishment, but it can also be protection, and it can also be care. In the scripture, over and over and over again, mishpat is taking up and taking care of the widows, the orphans, the immigrants, and the poor. This group has been called the quartet of the vulnerable. The care of the vulnerable carries through to the New Testament. James writes, "Pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress, and refusing to let that world corrupt you." One of the ways we see as Jesus followers, we know that God is changing us on the inside is what we're doing in our actions in the outside, and it's by caring for the most vulnerable around us. Justice not only includes this notion of mishpat, but a life of right relationships. That's called zadike. Zadike is our day-to-day interactions. This is the justice we practice every single day. It means we conduct all of our relationships with family, with friends, with coworkers in fairness. We conduct all of our relationships with generosity, and we treat each other fairly and equitably. We sell things at a fair value. We do what we say we're going to do. That's what it means to be a people of Zadike. We have a life full of right relationships, no matter what kind they are. Now, one way to picture these two sides of justice is to look at it this way. Zadike is primary justice. This is what we do in our lives every day, the fairness and equality we practice with each other. And mishpat is rectifying justice. Mishpat means when something has happened and people need protection, they need care, or maybe even punishment. Jesus comes to bring justice, and Jesus brings both kinds of justice. Every Christmas season, you've likely heard these words. For a child is born to us. A son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders. He'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen. Friends, Jesus reigns in justice. We're called to perform acts of justice to reveal his reign. So as the sent ones, we can do this in incredible amounts of ways. We can work to eliminate sex trafficking. We can promote fair trade products. We open our homes to orphans. We fight homelessness. We promote foster care. We donate hundreds of pounds of clothes to Ghana. We donate dollars to the long-term relief in Texas and Louisiana. The options for justice are almost limitless. Whether we're donating or signing an online petition or inviting people into our homes, we are the sent ones called to point others to God's reign whenever we do justice. Justice characterizes God's reign. Reconciliation is at the heart of God's reign. Third, beauty. Beauty reveals God's reign. If you're like me, there are times and places I feel closest to God in nature. Whether we're on a mountaintop or as mountainous as it gets in the Black Hills, on a beach or in the open prairie hunting for some of us, it can be a beautiful cathedral, a piece of art, or an incredible composition of music that points us, that points you to the creator of all beauty. Psalm 19 reminds us why we are moved by beauty to see that God reigns. The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship. Day after day, they continue to speak. Night after night, they make him known. They speak without a sound or word. Their voice is never heard. Yet their message has gone out throughout the earth and all their words to all their worlds. God has designed creation so the stars and the skies and the trees and the plants speak to the fact that God created the world and our God reigns. This summer, I've loved watching our landscape develop here around the building. Our outdoor amphitheater behind me is looking incredible. We'll soon have grass all the way to Durango this direction. And a number of the trees that were damaged on Durango and in our orchard over there have been replaced from the incredible winter we all endured. Mike Wentz has done an amazing job this summer and throughout the entire 3.5 years that we've been here to show that our God reigns through beauty, through the design of our outdoor spaces. Mike has that gift for beauty from God, and he shows it through his work. Our architect, commenting on our whole facility, noted, "You guys aren't building a church. You're building a garden that just so happens to have a church in the middle of it. And you don't get much more biblical than a garden. The Bible begins in a garden, and God walks with humanity in this garden until a choice is made to break that relationship. The Bible ends with the passage I read at the beginning of the message, where it talks about this new city coming down out of heaven where God walks with humanity again. When that was written 2,000 years ago, a city was understood to be nothing more than gardens. Gardens upon gardens upon gardens. One garden in the beginning where God walks with humanity, to the end where there is a whole city of gardens where God walks with humanity again. Legacy in its design points people to the fact that God reigns, and we see it through the beauty. So this week, alert people to the fact that God reigns by commenting on a sunset, by commenting on a mountain view or a starry night, and create beautiful music and arts and crafts and food and invite people to join you. Fashion something yourself that is absolutely incredible and point to the fact that God reigns by the time and the energy and the effort that you put into creating it. N.T. Wright, a theologian and writer, puts it this way. It is central to the Christian living that we should celebrate the goodness of creation, ponder its present brokenness, and insofar as we can, celebrate in advance the healing of the world, the new creation itself. Art, music, literature, dance, theater, and many other expressions of human delight and wisdom can all be explored in new ways. Friends, make something beautiful this week. Beauty reveals God's reign. Justice characterizes God's reign. Reconciliation is at the heart of God's reign. Last, wholeness demonstrates God's reign. John the Baptist was in prison, and he's hearing stories about what Jesus is up to. So John sends his disciples to ask if Jesus was really the Messiah. Is Jesus the one that we've been waiting for, or should we look for somebody else? Jesus sends his reply. Go back to John and tell them what you've heard and seen. The blind see, the lame walk, those with leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised to life, and the good news is being preached to the poor. That's Jesus' way of saying, I'm the one. I am the Messiah. And Jesus' kingdom is the one where people are made whole in every way possible. In God's reign, there will be no sickness or disease, no mental health or depression, no mental illness or depression, no birth defects or scars. We will be made whole. Whenever we bring healing and wholeness, in large ways or small, we alert others to the fact that our God reigns. In healing, as in listening to the Spirit's voice, we are people of the both and. Yes, the Holy Spirit speaks to us, but sometimes we have issues in our physical body that need to be addressed. The healers among us are doctors and nurses and psychologists and counselors. Every time you bring a modicum of healing to somebody, you are revealing that our God reigns. But it doesn't just stop at the physical and the practical. As followers of Jesus, we pray for supernatural healing in people's lives. Miracles, by definition, are rare events, but that doesn't mean we don't pray for them to happen. Yes, we go to our human healers, but we also pray for miracles to occur. Whenever wholeness occurs, no matter how it happens, we see that our God reigns. So as the sent ones into our workplaces and our neighborhoods, we practice wholeness because it demonstrates God's reign. We practice beauty because it reveals God's reign. Justice characterizes God's reign, and reconciliation is at the heart of God's reign. So your final homework from this series, your challenge is to journal. It's to write down when you alerted people to the fact that God reigns. Whether you're bringing wholeness or beauty or justice or reconciliation, make note of it. We keep track of things that are important to us, and we can more easily change habits when we start to keep a journal and track it. I wear a fitness tracker, like many of you, because, well, first, our insurance incentivizes us to do so, but second, the better reason, it's because I want to be sure I'm exercising, to be sure I'm eating right and keeping my weight manageable. We do this with budgets. We create budgets and we track our spending because we have goals to hit. We want to live within our means. We want to become a people that are extravagantly generous, that are working towards giving the tithe and beyond in our lives. What we track in our lives shows that it's important to us and gives us the power to make changes. A few weeks ago, Peg told us that she writes in her Bible because she wants to leave a legacy for her kids. So she takes time to journal because that's important to her. Rachel journals so future generations can learn what it was like to follow Jesus in this era of human history. Friends, we track and we journal what is important to us. We are the sent ones to alert everybody that our God reigns. So track this week on paper or digitally how you alerted people that God reigns through mediating a troubled relationship. You might have shared the good news. You alleviated suffering. You took care of orphans, or you created something beautiful, or you brought healing to individuals or groups. Friends, our God reigns. Let's live like it. Let's pray together. Lord God, we are humbled that you want to work through us to alert people to the fact that you reign. Help us this week to bring reconciliation to relationships, to bring justice to the widows and the orphans, the immigrants and the poor, to see and bring beauty to our families and our friends, to bring and to pray for wholeness with all that we encounter. May we surprise the world by the way we live, and may people be inspired by us to say, wow, I want to know where they come from. Help us to attract people to you by the way that we live. It is in the powerful name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.